It's November, one of those months with an R in it. That means it is oyster season on the Chesapeake Bay, a tradition that goes back centuries. The folks at Belle Isle State Park on Virginia's Northern Neck are working to preserve some of that tradition with the stories of people who lived there and worked in the oyster business in the 1940s and 1950s. Correspondent Pamela D'Angelo has compiled some of their stories.
I am Catherine Vaney Bundy, and my husband, Thomas L. Bundy, lived on the farm, and we was married 2 years. He was working on the oyster boat. And the night before, Thomas and I had gone down to Tide's Inn for the Christmas assembly. We served down there. So we went to bed, fast asleep, and next thing when we knew, that was Herbert Swan knocking at our window. Thomas, Thomas! Man, it's time to go. You still in the bed? So he jumped up. So he said, well, goodbye, sweetheart. I'll see you later today. That's the time when other people's calls would come into your house. And so when the phone rang at Belle Isle, I answered the phone. And Tolly Jackson said, Catherine, is anybody there with you? Why is he asking me that? I said to myself, you know. I said, no. So I stood there by the telephone. What in the world did he want? The telephone rang again. I picked up. I don't know why I picked up. He dropped me, you know. He was calling up to the store, and he said, J.C., I don't know what to do. And J.C. said, what's going on? Said, Thomas fell off the boat, and he was drowned.
I'm Al Pollard. My dad and Uncle Lee bought the farm together. There was a lighthouse that Dad and Uncle Lee built down on the end of Belle Isle to overlook the oyster grind to try to deter the poachers. Uncle Lee bought a huge surplus searchlight. A little bit of a deterrent if you have the light on you. What else could they do? You wouldn't want to shoot at them because if you hit them, then that would put you in pretty big trouble.
Betty Hall Dean was living in the lighthouse for most of my years, and people would try to oyster on your private shore at night. And Daddy would get up at different times and look out and flash this big light, the spotlight. But the funny thing was, down on that end of the farm, we didn't have a telephone. So he'd have to get in the car to go up to the boat rides to find a telephone or tell him. As soon as they saw Daddy's car lights, they knew he was going to get, you know, everybody learned that. And so then, you know, Daddy would just drive up the road sometimes and turn around and come back and then take another look to see if they were still there. So, you know, this was the way it went. The whole thing was to get them to leave. So it seemed to work at any rate.
The income was very good, and it paid for my education, and I'm sure my siblings also. And then back, I don't know, when was it, Hazel? I remember Dad came home one day and after having gone out to figure out what they were going to harvest that year and said, everything is dead. And there was 300 acres, and that was the end of the oyster business for him at that point.
This story was produced by Pamela D'Angelo and the Oral History Project made possible by a grant from River County's Community Foundation.